Well, welcome. Again, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, or for those of you who may be listening online. And right now, we are in a conversation. As a matter of fact, today we are wrapping up a conversation called Direction. And we're looking at Psalm 23 and asking, is it possible to move into the future with the confidence and security that the ancient king of Israel named David did? Now, the scriptures say that David had a unique relationship with God, that David was a man after God's own heart. When you look at his journey and his experience with God, you see it. David had a powerful relationship with God, and it allowed him to be able to move into the future with incredible confidence and incredible security. And we've been asking, is it possible for us to live with that as well? And for the past several weeks, if you haven't been with us, you can watch them online. We've been breaking down, okay, what was it that allowed David to move with that security into the future? And we looked at how he embraced being a follower. We looked at how he was constantly in God's word, learning God's voice. We looked at how he created space and time for God to speak into the present. We looked at how he brought that truth into community and allowed it to be clarified as it sifted in community. And we've been talking through these different things that make this possible, this perspective that we see in Psalm 23. I want to take you back there before we go any further, just to remind us again of what it was that David shared with us, this incredible perspective that he had on the future. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see this incredible perspective that David had, that I'm following my shepherd into the future. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about for you and I in John chapter 10, where he says, "This is the relationship that I want to have with you. This is what I want it to be like between you and I." John chapter 10, beginning verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." For the past several weeks, we've been breaking down, okay, what does that look like to know his voice, to live the way that David lived? And for some of you, this has been a lot. It has been a lot, and you're looking at this, and really none of this is a part of your life, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I put this into place, and you're scrambling to do that. For others of you, it's been challenging because some of it's in your life, but other parts of it aren't, and you've realized, okay, no, I need to develop this, or I need to take a next step here. For others of you, it's been incredibly encouraging because you've built this in your life, and you've seen the fruit that it produces. And it's just encouraged you to continue to walk in that, continue to grow in that. As we come to the end of this conversation, I want to talk to you about one more thing. Because I realize as we come to the end of this, that there's no way that you could take everything that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks and implement it over the course of 5 weeks. That's just not possible. And so it's really important to me that this conversation doesn't end here. It's really important for us that this conversation doesn't end here, but that we take what we've been talking about and we carry it with us. In order to do that, in order to solidify that in your life and in my life, I want to be able to walk us through one more thing, something that I hope will encourage us and just continue to build our conviction and our drive and our motivation for this to be a reality in our lives. And so I want to talk to you about one more thing. It's really the focus of Psalm 23. It's really the focus of John 10. Because the focus of Psalm 23 and the focus of John 10 isn't the sheep. The focus is the shepherd. And so what I want to do today is I want to be able to remind you of who the shepherd is. And to be able to walk through Psalm 23 and for us to not just see David's perspective on the future, but for us to see why it is that he so trusts the shepherd. Why it is that he so trusts the shepherd. There's so much that God wants for us to learn in this picture. And it's interesting because when God comes to us and he's working to help us understand ourselves and he's working to help us understand this idea of following him, have you ever thought about this? God uses the same picture every time. Has this ever struck you as you're reading through the scriptures? God doesn't change animals over the course of the story. Every time when God wants for you to understand yourself, he uses the same animal, which is actually a little strange because oftentimes when Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand something, he'll use a variety of illustrations for them to grasp it. So, for example, one time he's teaching his disciples about God's heart for the lost, and he starts to tell all these different stories. He says, it's like a shepherd who lost a sheep. No, it's like a woman who lost a coin. No, it's like a father who lost a son. And he's going through all these different illustrations, and he often will use a variety of illustrations in order to communicate a truth, because the truth is found in little pieces of these different stories. But when it comes to this idea of following him, and when it comes to you understanding your role and his role, the picture never changes. And really, amazingly, the animal never changes. It's not like, okay, you're a sheep here, and then over here it's like a dog, or over here it's like, it doesn't change. For David, it's the same. Isaiah, it's the same. Jesus, it's the same. New Testament, it's the same. It's always the same animal. That should cause us to pay very close attention to that animal. Very close attention to that story because it's consistent, very interesting. And when God wants for you to understand how he leads us and how we follow him, the animal that he chooses is a sheep. Now, let me say this. In the past, I have misspoken. This has been pointed out to me. Because in the past, I have told you that sheep are the stupidest animals on the planet. Okay, that is not true. There are actually scientifically dumber animals out there. Okay, so I'm going to adjust how I say this. Sheep are not scientifically the dumbest animals on the planet. However, you would not be impressed with the intellect of sheep. Let's say it that way. They are not impressive when it comes to their ability to figure life out. I remember, because I grew up on a farm, I worked with pigs and sheep a lot, and I remember we had one lamb in particular, because sheep are really, they scare really easy. They're super flighty. They have to be, otherwise, because this is one of the things we'll talk about in just a second, they have no defense system except for to run away. That's all they have. They can't really even kick very hard. So they just have to run. So they have this flight mechanism in them. I remember we had this one sheep. He got scared so easy. And the second he got scared, he wouldn't think. He'd just turn and run directly the opposite direction. He must have run into the barn over 30 times. And he would just get scared, but he'd be next to the barn. He wouldn't think about it. He'd just turn and head first, bam, right into the wall. And you're just thinking, come on, man, the barn doesn't move. It doesn't move. My youngest son reminds me of that lamb. My youngest son, Cole, he's about 3 years old. And he's just tall enough now where he runs into the counter. And we've got this little corner on our counter. And he comes downstairs. He'd be whipping through our house and bam, run into that counter. I'm like, man, buddy, that counter's not moving. You got to learn that counter's not moving. People come to our house and say, you should really pad the corner of that thing. But here's my thing. If you can't learn not to run into the counter, I'm not sure you should make it past this age. I'm really not. This is the way sheep are. They don't think. They just react. And there's a lot of different things. I don't think that God gives us the picture of a sheep because say, oh, you're stupid. There's a lot of different things. It has to do with helplessness. It has to do with the fact that they need a shepherd. They actually need someone to take care of them. They get lost really easily. They get lost really easily because they freak out and they just take off. And then they get to wherever they're going. They're like, where am I? And they can't find their way back. There's all sorts of things that God wants for us to be able to capture in this picture. We're going to talk through some of them as we walk through this. But he doesn't just want for us to understand how we're like sheep. He wants for us to understand how he is like a shepherd. He wants for us to understand how he is like a shepherd. And the main point of the entire passage that we've been reading week after week after week is that David's stepping into our lives and he's saying, let me tell you about my shepherd. And as we've been walking for the last couple of weeks through, okay, how do we listen to him? How do we follow him? I want to go back to this because I want to reassure you with who your shepherd is. And to remind you who it is that we're trying and working to listen to. As David begins to describe his shepherd, he starts off and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The first thing that he says is this, my shepherd, he's my provider. He's the one who provides for me. Now, some of you have been told that God wants to take from you. You've been told that he's holding out on you. Some of you right now, you're looking at a decision in your life, and it feels like if you follow God, that you're going to lose something that you find very valuable. It seems like if you follow God, he's going to take something from you. David says you need to understand something about the shepherd. He's the one who provides. And sometimes the shepherd has to take the sheep from one pasture to another. And in between, it can be difficult and it can be rough. Not going to be a lot to eat. But one of the things that David experienced in his life over and over and over again is that the shepherd was always faithful to get to the next pasture. And as he steps into our lives, he says, listen, he's going to be faithful. He is the provider. And for us to be able to hold on to that when we're in between pastures, he's my provider. As he continues, he says something that's so deeply needed for our culture. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water, restores my soul. Your shepherd is not a taskmaster. Your shepherd is not a slave driver. And some of you have been told this about God as well, that he just wants more and more and more and more and more and more and do and do and do. David says, that's not my shepherd. Some of you have a slave driver voice in your life. It's not your shepherd. It is not Jesus, and you think it is, and you're giving him credit for that voice, but that voice does not come from him. Jesus in your life and your shepherd in your life values rest. He values restoring your soul. He values beauty and enjoyment. We have got this so wrong about God because we've taken these other voices and we've given God credit for them. The voices of our past failures, the voices of our idol, of impressing the people around us, the voices of our father, the voices of all these things that have been taskmasters and slave drivers in our life, and we have given God credit for those voices. They are not his voice. Because he values rest and enjoyment and restoring your soul. He's not just interested in what more you can do, what more you can achieve, and what more you can accomplish. David says, no, 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 my shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I spent some time over the course of this past week just kind of meditating on this, just sitting with it, and just thinking about all the different things that God has surrounded us with that teach us this. Even the seasons of life and how there's a time of rest and then there's rebirth and then there's growth and there's all of this is wrapped up in the world around us and the beauty of the world around us that calls to us to rest and to enjoy. Even when you look at the way that he's created us as people and the things that he's built into us that communicate his value of joy and fullness and refreshment. Have you ever thought about, I was thinking about this week, have you ever thought about the fact that our shepherd, our God, created laughter? Have you ever thought about that? That he created laughter? He's like, I want to create them in such a way that when they experience really intense joy, that they can no longer contain it, and then they just start to make this ridiculous noise. And it just pours out of them, and sometimes they can't stop it. It just keeps going, and that ridiculous noise brings joy to all the different people around them, sometimes so much so that they start making ridiculous noises too. And if it goes hard enough, then they start to sound like a pig. Let's make them sound like a pig. But you think about that. Listen to me. For some of you, your idea of God, it is completely incompatible with someone who would create laughter. It is completely incompatible with someone who would create laughter because you've believed lies about him. And David is coming in and saying, no, he's not this slave driver. He's not this, no. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He understands pace. Says he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides and directs. He speaks into their life and gently leads them through this path. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now let me talk about this for a second, because sometimes we hear rod and staff, we think punishment. But here's where the picture is really important. Because you need to understand something about a shepherd. A shepherd would never strike his sheep with the rod or the staff. That's why David said, they comfort me. And I'm not, we're going to talk in just a second about how God disciplines and all that stuff. But you need to understand something. This is not the picture. The picture is not of something that God would use against you. You do not hit sheep. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't hit sheep. They freak out. They freak out if you hit them. And they will never come near you again. The more that they're hit, the more skittish they become, and they are uncontrollable. You don't hit sheep. It's very interesting. I grew up, I spent most of my time around pigs and sheep, and I was a part of 4-H, and so we used to show pigs and sheep. I know some of you are like, what? Who is this person? You're just weird. I don't know what you're talking about. It's okay, but stick with me. And we used to show both of them, and so we learned how to be able to lead a pig and how to be able to lead and guide a pig, how to be able to lead and guide a sheep. Now, with a pig, the way that you lead it and guide it is that you smack it. You take this cane, this short cane, and you smack it in the shoulder. It turns it. I know some of you are like, oh, I can't believe you're hitting the animals. It's okay. Just keep eating your vegetables, right? But you smack it. Sorry, I'm going to get in trouble in this service. But you smack it, and pigs have really thick skin, right? So even if you hit it pretty good, it doesn't feel that much, and so it just turns a little bit. And that's how you lead it and you guide it around, okay? If you do that to a sheep, they will go berserk. That's not how you lead a sheep. You have to earn their trust. You have to be very gentle. You have to be very quiet. You have to be very careful. And the way that you lead a sheep is that you slowly, over time, build a relationship with it. And you begin to build its trust to the point where you eventually, you're able to take its head. And the way that you lead a sheep, the way that you show a sheep is that you hold the sheep's head, you put your one hand just gently under its chin, you put your other hand very gently at the back of its head or on its back, and you very carefully and you very gently lead it forward. You don't hit sheep. And even when even if the sheep gets scared, what you do is you just take its head in your arms, you just hold it steady, and very gently, you just calm it down. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You have to be very careful with them. I know you think I'm weird, but just, it's true, okay? And it's actually important for you to understand what God's trying to teach you here. And this is how you interact with sheep. There's a reason God didn't say pigs. He chose sheep. And so when David brings in this idea of the rod and the staff, he's not talking about things you need to be afraid of. The rod and the staff were for anything that would attack the sheep, right? The staff also had a hook on it so that if the sheep fell down into somewhere that they could hook it and pull it up. It was all about the safety and protection of the sheep. And I know some of you are saying, well, wait. I mean, Jesus is really hard on some people, and there were people who brought this up to me after the first service. We were talking about voice. Well, you know, sometimes Jesus is really hard on people. And that's true. That's true. Sometimes Jesus is really hard on people. Jesus is really hard on teachers. As a matter of fact, the Bible's pretty hard on teachers. James 3:1 says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's a terrifying passage for me. It really is. And Jesus says, you need to be really careful if you're teaching people about who I am. And you better take it really, really seriously. And when he confronts those who are teaching about God, who are teaching lies about God, he's pretty intense. And he doesn't have a lot of patience for people lying about his dad. And he calls them directly out of that, and he addresses it. He's also very hard on the proud. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. Now, sometimes we misread this because we think that this is saying that God hates the proud, that God wants nothing to do with the proud. It's not what he's saying. He says God opposes the proud. Why does God oppose the proud? Because the thing that the proud need most is for them to realize that they need a shepherd. And so what God says is, listen, if you don't think you need a shepherd, I'm going to actively work against you in your life. Because you need to realize that you need a shepherd, that you can't do it alone. And so rather than allowing you to just wander aimlessly on your own, I'm going to actively work for you to realize that sooner rather than later so that you don't waste your life. This is exactly what he's doing with the Pharisees. It's not that he didn't care about them. He absolutely cared about them. But he realized that this was necessary for them to realize their need for a shepherd. He's also hard on those who are arrogant because they know, but they don't do. If you've been reading through our Bible reading plan with us this past week, in Luke chapter 12, we read through this story that Jesus tells about the servant. At the end of the story, it says this. He says, and a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who doesn't know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. It says, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone who has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And he's talking about this. Listen. If you have been given a lot of knowledge and you know more is going to be expected of you. And the reality is that Jesus is really hard on and Jesus is really intense with those who think that growth is knowing and not becoming. And he has very little patience with those who think that growth is knowing or thinking that they are in some way spiritually mature because they know but they don't do. He actually says, no, if you know and you don't do, you're not advanced. You're actually in really bad shape. It's a dangerous place to be. And that's why even as we walk through the series, I know for some of you, you're really big on knowing and not necessarily becoming. And this series for some of you has been frustrating because a lot of things that we talked through haven't been new. But the problem is, it's not that you don't know it. It's that we're not doing it. And we're not here to just know things. We're here to know and do, to become like him. And Jesus is hard on those who are hypocrites, who talk a lot about what they know, but they're not interested in what they do and what they're becoming. But Jesus is not hard on those who recognize that they need a shepherd. Throughout the month, we've been reading through Psalm 51 in our rhythms and reading through this every single day. It has been such an encouragement to me. In verse 17, it says, you do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. The thing that we have to be afraid of is thinking that we don't need a shepherd. You don't have to be afraid of the shepherd. Jonah actually gets mad at God about this. There's an ancient prophet, Jonah, that God uses to bring his message to a foreign city. And as Jonah brings this message to this foreign city, the people repent, and God decides that he's going to forgive them. Listen to what Jonah says in Jonah 4, beginning of verse 1. It says, this change of plans, in other words, that God forgave these people, greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. What is wrong with you? You're so consistent. It's exactly what Psalm 51 is talking about. You see, when we embrace the fact that we need a shepherd, when we stop trying to act like we got it all figured out, we got all the answers, you don't have to be afraid of him. That rod and that staff, they protect you. David says they comfort him. Even in the shadow of the valley of death, they comfort him. As you continue, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He's encouraging. He's encouraging and faithful. He says, even in the presence of my enemies, you're encouraging me. You're preparing this table before me. And then as he ends, he says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, and let me end with this. He doesn't give up. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He never gives up on us. David says, let me tell you about the shepherd. And I want to take you back to this today because we've been talking about, okay, how do we listen to him? But I want to remind you again of the one that we're seeking to listen to. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 10, right? That his purpose in all of this was to give them a rich and satisfying life. You have to remember the shepherd. We don't just follow him because he knows the future. We follow him because we can trust him. Because we can trust him. Because he's good and loving. As some of you, as we walk through this series, you're looking at all these different things and you're starting to freak out. You're like, how do I do all this? How do I do this? And I feel like right now God just wants to take your head in his arms and just say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just take the next step. Just take the next step. And throughout this series, we've been laying out a path. We've been laying out a path. And I felt that God wanted us to lay out the whole path, not just the next step, but the whole path of, okay, this is where we're going. This is what we want to develop. But here's the thing. That doesn't happen in a day. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And we want growth to be instant. We want growth to be immediate. We want it to happen tomorrow. We want to hear it today. We want it to happen tomorrow. We want it to be in place tomorrow. We want to practice that tomorrow. We want to be Chia Pets. This is our dream. Right here. As a matter of fact, we actually think this is how spiritual growth is supposed to work. You go to church, pour on some water, next day, boom, fuzzy like a sheep. Immediately, this is what we want. We want growth to be instant, but that's not the way God works. And here's the thing about it, because some of you think that God's frustrated with you, that you haven't put all this in place over the course of the last 6 weeks. That's why you're freaking out. I talked to someone after the service last week, and they're kind of a new believer here, and they're working through this, and she said, it's just so much, it's so much. And I literally, it was just like that sheep, was just like, I don't know what to do, where do I do? And I feel like God wants to take some of you in his arms and just say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And God loves growth. We have got to begin believing this. Everything that he created teaches us this. God doesn't create anything complete. He creates everything to grow. Why? Because God loves growth. God's not worried about you being there today. All he's worried about, and this is such a big part of the idea of following him. He doesn't say, I want you to be there. He says, I want you to follow me. Well, what does that mean? That you take the next step. And then you take the next step. And then you take the next step. But God's not interested in Chia Pets. God's interested in oak trees. When you look at the dream of the entire book of Psalms, the beginning of Psalms starts out with, and I bring myself back to this passage over and over and over again. The entire book of Psalms starts off and says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord or God's word, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all that they do. God's not interested in Chia Pets. He wants you to be a tree, unshakable, confident, secure, moving into the future. But trees don't develop overnight. It takes years. It takes years. God's okay with that. The only one who's not okay with that is you. God's okay with that. And he doesn't come to you and expect you to be that tomorrow. He comes to you and says, follow me. Take the next step. Take the next step. And maybe that next step for you is becoming consistent in his word. Maybe that next step for you is beginning to create some space and time in your week or maybe your month. Maybe that next step is beginning to dive into rhythms and having it be a more frequent part of your day. Maybe that next step is having the faith to bring those things that God's saying to you inside a community. I don't know what your next step is as you look back at what we've talked through, but here's the thing. Don't try to jump. You're not a good jumper. You're not a good jumper. When you jump, you're going to fall. And then you get frustrated and you're going to stop taking steps. Don't try to jump. Next step. Next step. Next step. Next step. Next step. And allow him to lead you there. We have an incredible shepherd. And the reality is that if we will chart our course, if we will chart our course and say, I may deviate sometimes, I may struggle sometimes, I may fail sometimes, but I'm going to live my life learning to listen better to my shepherd. If we will chart our course and maintain that, not for 6 weeks, not for a month, but for a lifetime, we will know Psalm 23. We will know it not just because we memorized it. We will know it because we've lived it. And we will be able to bring the hope of it not only into our lives, but into the lives of those around us. May we follow well, not just as individuals, as a flock. May we follow well. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we come to the end of this conversation, that this would not be something that would end here, that this would not be something that would die here, but that what we've heard from David's perspective and what David has shared with us about you, that it would echo in our minds and in our lives, that it would call us back again and again and again and again and again when we waver, when we fail, when we are distracted, when we're sidetracked, it would call us back to learning to follow well, to listen, to wait. And to take that next step, whatever it may be. Father, I thank you that you are our shepherd. We want no one else. We love you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.